For 13 years, Abraham believed that Ishmael would be the promised child, the chosen heir. And then the Lord comes to Abram and he tells him, no, one born from your own body, from Sarai, will be the promised child. God says, yes, I'm going to bless Ishmael. I will bless him. 12 princes will come from him, which is interesting, but I'll refrain from going down that rabbit hole. But God says he's not the chosen heir. He says the chosen one will come from Sarah, from your own body. And Abram was crushed. He falls to the ground in disbelief and he laughs. And then in his heart, he says, I'm 100, my wife is 90, this is impossible. Abram's heart was rehearsing unbelief toward God, the same God who made the solar system and goldfish with his words, the same God who made the most complicated and advanced machines in the universe out of dirt and his breath, who flooded the entire world, saved Noah and his family with a giant coffin, confounded the speech of the builders of Babel, begins to build a new city with Abram and protects Abram's wife in Egypt by sending plagues on Pharaoh and his house. This God speaks to Abram, tells him he's going to have a son with Sarah, and Abram laughs in disbelief. Abram doesn't think that this can happen. In his disbelief and laughter, he petitions God to accept something more reasonable, to accept his own plan of salvation, to accept the ministry of his own strength and devising apart from the plan of God, to accept his own plan to save the world in his own way. Jesus says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And out of the abundance of Abraham's disbelieving heart, he spoke to God these words, oh, that Ishmael would live before you. Paul says that anything that does not come from faith is sin. So this petition from Abraham was sinful. It was disbelief. It was not from faith. God spoke plainly, as plain as day, to Abraham. And Abraham says, no, 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 no. Let it be Ishmael. Let it be Ishmael. And perhaps you know that God has spoken to you. We have his Bible. We have his word. And we have the Holy Spirit that speaks to us. And perhaps you've ignored these things. Perhaps you have tried to work out his promises and blessings to you in the flesh somehow. And I don't know how that works out for each and every one of you, but you know. You know if you've taken a Hagar. You know if you have birthed an Ishmael. Oh, that my stable career might live before you. Oh, that my classical Christian school startup might live before you. Oh, that my compromised church might live before you. Oh, that my adulterous marriage might live before you. Oh, that my passionate desire for my remarried spouse to return to me, despite the word of God calling it an abomination, might live before you. These things can be obvious sins. They can be not so obvious sins. But everything that does not come from faith is sin. God tells Abraham that the promised child that comes from Sarah will be named Isaac, which means he laughs. When Abraham fell to the ground, he Isaac'd, he Yitzhak'd. And God says, you're going to name your son Yitzhak. God has a sense of humor, even in these weighty moments. Abraham will be reminded of his disbelieving, mocking, and scornful laughter. But once Yitzhak is born, Abraham will Yitzhak again. He will laugh with joy when he sees the promised child. His unbelieving laughter will be turned into joyful laughter, exhilarating laughter. The God of comedy, the God who turns tragedies into comedies, the God of tragicomedy, the God of eucatastrophe. This is the first time laughter is mentioned in the Bible, and God is already taking bad laughter and turning it into good laughter. And so if you have laughed in unbelief this week, if you have some kind of cynical laughter in your heart, if you have rehearsed some kind of disbelief inside your heart, God doesn't really mind sin, maybe you've thought. God probably doesn't really reward faithful living. If you have petitioned to God that some kind of Ishmael might live before him, You are rehearsing that unbelief in your heart. You are laughing in unbelief. And you are called to repent of that laughter. You are called to repent and believe, to believe in the God who calls you to enter by the narrow gate, the God who calls you to walk on water, the God who calls you to do the impossible, to trust in Him who turns mocking laughter into joyful laughter. This reminds us of our need to confess.